fechado.
Yud Beis Sivan Tov Shin Pei Vov, Rav David Eisenberg Shlita.
Are we all good, Rabbi Coleman? Yeah. Everything on that needs to be on? Okay. Always have to make sure that the technology is working. Rabbi Isai, good morning. Nice to see you. Simcha asked me from last time when we spoke about Fleishiks and Milchiks. So Simcha said to me, can we do a series maybe on Basa B'Cholov? So I said, okay, we're going to try to do a series on Basa B'Cholov. So I'm hoping, Mitzvah Hashem, that we're going to be having a series of Shiurim, probably at least six, possibly even more, and put forward a bunch of topics. If anybody has a specific topic that they want to hear specifically from Basa B'Cholov, you can come forward afterwards as well and tell me. But we've set aside different things, ideas about Fleishiks and Milchiks, and ideas about spoons, and about stirring things, and about Dovah Charif, and about all sorts of different ideas, ovens. So we're going to try to get through different things. And we're going to start today with the following topic. And the topic was, I stirred my meaty pot with a milky spoon, or vice versa. It's really, it doesn't really make a difference which way around the question is. But this is a simen in Shulchan Aruch, simen tzadik dalet, ha-toichav kav chilev, as we can tell you, if you stick a milky spoon into a fleshy pot. So I want to get into this. I just want to say also, as an introduction, two things. Number one, for me, it's very, very good that I'm able to do chazara on these things. It's always nice to be able to do chazara. Chazara is really the backbone of everything. If you don't do chazara, you learn it once, it's in one ear and out the other, and then it's gone. So certainly chazara is very, very important. But the other thing to mention over here, which is very important, is that when it comes to kashrus is like a system. Lots of things in halacha are systems. And you have to understand the system in its entirety. And when you understand the system in its entirety, everything works together in tandem, everything works together in harmony. And when you don't understand the system in its entirety, there will be holes wherever you go. And so therefore, we're going to try to deal with certain things today or next week, whatever it is, but always keep in mind that some of these things are going to be cumulative, and because they're cumulative, if you miss out certain shiurim, it's kedai to listen back to see what I've missed out on certain klolim, because the klolim are overarching and they apply all across kashas. Okay? And so I'd like to start with the following. This is very, very important. The first klal. And that is, Basa B'Cholov is a very interesting thing. It's a one of a kind almost in the entire Torah. In that you have two items that are mutter. Basar is mutter. Meat is mutter. Cholov, mutter. And yet, you mix the two together and you end up with Isra. So how does that happen? That I take an item that's mutter and an item that's mutter and you mix it together and it becomes Asr. And it's different to almost anything else. Because if I have a mutter piece of meat and a mutter potato and I put them in the oven and I have chicken and potatoes or meat and potatoes. But if I have mutter milk and mutter meat and I put them in the oven or in the pot together and I cook them together, Asr. So the Torah Asr, the taste of meat and milk together. That's what the Torah Asr. You're not allowed to eat meat and milk together. The taste of these two things together. And the reason I'm saying that specifically is because the idea we're going to come up with Shishim and the idea with other things we're going to come up are all going to be based around this idea of the tam, the taste being osur, the taste being mutter, and working through that idea all the way through. Okay? So therefore, we have over here a spoon, which is milchik, which has been put into a fleshig pot. And therefore, we have potentially, I'm going to say potentially, I'm not saying for certain, we have potentially a mixture of milk taste with meat taste. And therefore, what we need to do in order to figure out what's happening over here, we need to ask ourselves all the different questions that are necessary. And once we understand the basics of what's necessary to know, and then apply them, the rules become pretty simple. Okay? So let's ask, first of all, the questions, because we're going to be asking, going through that, and it's important to know the different questions, because depending on these questions will be the answer. So like, the same way you say, how long is a piece of string? That's the famous thing that they say. You say, I stuck a spoon, a milky spoon, into a fleshy pot. Kosher treif. How long is a piece of string? Because there's too many variables that are going on over here that need to be figured out before you can go ahead and give a definitive answer to this question. So let's understand the klalim, and then we're going to come back into the protein. And the questions you need to ask are as follows. Let's start with the spoon first. I'm assuming it's a spoon, but it doesn't have to be a spoon. So I'm saying, like, you know, it's a spoon, but it could be a fork or a knife also. It's not necessarily just that way, because fork might be different. You took a fork, a fleshing fork, or a milking fork, and you stuck it in. You were trying to take out a piece of meat from the pot, and you took your fleshing fork, and you stuck it into the meat, and you took the fork out to see if it's cooked through or not. What's the halacha? You took a knife to cut into it to see whether or not it's ready. So you have, again, that child will come up. So what kind of utensil do you have? And you need to know, is that utensil going to be properly milchiks? Or is it not properly milchiks? And we'll define soon what properly milchiks is. Next, what type of food was it? Was it straight out meat? Was it milk? Was it a mixture of meat and something else, or milk and something else? Right? So you make a pasta dish, you make a lasagna. It's not all cheese. There's cheese, and there's going to be vegetables, and there's going to be bits of noodles. Or you make a chicken and potato, whatever, stew in the oven. So that's a bigger thing. So you get to that as well. So you're looking at what kind of food you have as a mixture. Or possibly is it water? You just have water, and you stuck it, but you have water in a fleshy pot. You have a meat pot, you're boiling the water, and you stuck a milky spoon inside it. What happens there? And, very, very important also, we're going to have to come into that, is solids versus liquids. What kind of food are we dealing with? A liquid, or even something in a sauce, you can take the taste and you can spread the taste out over everything that's inside the pot. Whereas if you have solid, when you have one piece of meat, you're going to need shishim in that piece of meat specifically, rather than in the whole pot, because you can't use the rest of the pot for this piece of meat. So you need to know what type of food you're dealing with. Number three, you need to know what kind of pot you're dealing with. Are you dealing with a bigger pot or a smaller pot? Are you dealing with a pot that is properly fleshix, or something that was fleshix, or had fleshix cooked in it recently, or not so recently? What kind of pot is it? And then the next question, you need to ask yourself about the spoon you said, is it fleshix, milchik, or parva? Where did it become milchik? Did it become milchik in a kli rishon, a first vessel? You went and you stuck a fork into something that's on the fire, that becomes fleshik. But if it's off the fire, or if it's off out of the pot, so then you have a further discussion we have. And then we need to ask ourselves the next three questions. And that is, there are three different things that are being asked about. And any time when you have a utensil that is milky, that goes into a meaty pot, you have three things that need to be figured out. Number one, what's the halacha of the spoon? Or the fork, whatever it is. Number two, what's the halacha of the food? Because you have the food inside the pot. And number three, what's the halacha of the pot? And it will be sometimes that only one of them will become usher. It'll be sometimes that none of them will become usher. And sometimes all three of them will become usher. So these are three questions you need to ask yourself. Does it depend on what? Yes, Mr. Mango. I'm sorry? It will make a difference between hot and cold as well. Right? And then lastly, how much do I measure from this spoon? So you took your milky spoon, you put it into a meaty pot. How much milk is in that spoon? How do I know how much milk is in that spoon? Maybe I need to measure against the whole spoon. Which part of the spoon I need to measure against? It's all part of that. So all of these questions need to be answered. So therefore, when somebody says, I took a milky spoon and I put it in a meaty pot, what's the halacha? There's lots of questions you need to know. And before you know the answer to all these questions, it's very hard to be able to say definitively what the halacha is. Time. Okay? I'm sorry?
Time.
Time doesn't matter, interestingly enough.
I mean, even if you've not used that milky
spoon. Oh, that. No, we'll come. No, that will matter. That will matter. So I thought you meant time as how long it was in for.
No. If you've not used this milky spoon for more than 24 hours.
We're going to come back to that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, let's get into the discussions that we had before, and let's try to give it a bit of a framework. So, number one, let's go back to what Reuben said, and that is something in Halacha, the Halacha in Siman Tzadik Gimel, Tzadik Dalet, a few other places in Yerider, it speaks about it. In Halacha, we said that the Isser of Basar B'Cholov is the mixture of the meat and the milk taste together. However, you always have to differentiate and distinguish between what's considered meat and milk taste and what is not considered that. And in Halacha, we have a specific thing which Reuben referred to before. And that is, when you're dealing with real items, I'm dealing with milk and with meat, then usually the taste of them together, there's no question. Unless one of them is spoiled, then you have a different discussion on nice and damn gum. But if you have meat that is fully fresh, milk, fresh milk, you mix the two together, never going to be a question of whether that will or won't mix. You just have to figure out the ratios. However, if you have a spoon, so now, or you have a pot, then that's only osur, that only becomes milky, it only becomes meaty, because the bliya is because of what it swallows up of the taste from whatever it is. So let's say, for example, you have a pot that you cooked milk in it. Okay, you have a nice pot and you're making yourself hot chocolate, so you put milk in it, you want to boil up the milk and make hot chocolate. That pot, if I now pour out the milk, clean it out for the next 24 hours, after that pot has been used, so let's say it took till 9:30 in the morning, that's how long I've had milk in this pot when it was boiling. I took it out and I poured it out. Once I poured it out, we say, you wash it out, you say, yeah, it's 9:30 Thursday till 9:30 Friday, this pot has a halach of considered milk. After 9:30 on Friday, we say it's 24 hours have passed. That's what Reuben mentioned before. Now that 24 hours have passed, we say that the taste that has been swallowed up inside of this pot has become pungent, it's become pogum, and therefore that taste, when it mixes together with meat, does not create that forbidden mixture of the taste of meat and milk. And therefore, it's very important to know, when you're dealing with an item, is this an item that has been used in the last 24 hours for meat and milk? Or is this not an item that's been used for 24 hours for either meat or milk? That's the first thing that you have to ask. Because as soon as it gives bad taste, as soon as the taste is pungent, the halacha will be, it's not basar b'cholov, because I've not taken the meat and the milk and mixed them together in the way that I'm meant to mix. Okay? Next, we have...
Sorry, do you have to add on another hour, hour and a half of yeshiva into the dishwasher?
Oh, so that's an interesting discussion. Lemais, I think we don't say that. So the discussion is, if you reboil something inside it, does that now refresh it? So it's not just a dishwasher. Let's say I had in my milky pot, poured out the milk, washed it out, and now I want to boil up some water. So I'm boiling up some water. Now that I boiled up the water, do we say that since the pot has been reheated with something inside it, that refreshes the milky taste in it and therefore extends the time till, let's say, 11 o'clock or not? That's a discussion, but the mice, I think we're passing that knot. So we'd say, the milk came out at 9:30 and you wash it out, 9:30 is your cutoff. So that's question number one, ben yoyimoy or not ben yoyimoy. Question number two. I'm sorry? Dov Acharif will have to come to a different time. So I don't want to get into Dov Acharif today, because Dov Acharif makes things a lot more complicated. Okay? Dov Acharif is a separate thing, so we'll have to get to the idea of onions. When we get Dov Acharif, there'll be a separate cheer on Dov Acharif, because Dov Acharif changes everything that we're learning now, and sort of says, even though it's not Binyomer, it can become Binyomer. So, but that will be part of the Kolam. So once we establish the Kolam in general, then you can throw Dov Acharif in. But if you start with Dov Acharif, you're like, well, what am I going to do with this? Because first I have to understand what the basics are. Dov Acharif takes the basics and sort of adds another dimension to it. So I'd rather work with the basics first. We will do Dov Acharif, Mr. Shem. Okay? It would matter. The only time it would matter is if you have a suffix, if it's a kind of keli that's not boilea. So if it's made out of glass, then you might get out of it. So if you have a glass, let's say, I think glass is officially, we say, shiva vaybala. Now glass is considered very smooth and it doesn't take any taste in. So let's say you took a glass like this, it was made out of glass, not of cardboard, and you had a hot chocolate in it, you heated it up good and proper in a klirishin, and then you put in chicken soup, you'd be okay. Okay, but I mean, the Maisa, we don't do it because it's just bad. It's a bad habit. Certain things, by the way, certain things within kashrus are not done not because they're also because they're bad habits. Okay? They're just not the right thing to do because it's just not a... For example, I'll give an example of this. We've spoken about this. Swapping around and kashering things constantly from pleishik to milchik. So the halacha says, even though it's mutter, you shouldn't do it because you get all confused. What's the spoon today? Is it pleishik or is it milky? I don't know. Yes, it's milky. Then I did kasher it. I didn't kasher it. It is milky. It's meaty today. If you had a dira, you know, these mir bachrim diras where they have only one or two utensils, and then kashrus over there is always very, very hanging on a very thin thread because they have no idea what they're doing. So if you have a one utensil, you're like, I don't know, is this utensil meaty or milky? Yesterday I used it for pizza, but my dira mate 2 days ago used it for a steak. Like, you can't have that. So no, we kashrus in between. You didn't kashrus in between. You know, make two separate things. You won't get confused. So certain things like that also, we wouldn't use it. But in general, there will be a difference what kind of item you have for that. But not more than that, I think there's almost no difference. Okay? So that's number one. Number two is, how did you impart the taste into this item? Because let's say, for example, I had my milk over here that I'm making for my hot chocolate. I boiled up the milk, and as the milk is starting to churn a little bit, it's starting to go, and it's starting to, you know, you get the froth on the top. When you start boiling, it gets very, very bubbly. So you don't want that to happen, so you keep on stirring the milk. So you took your spoon, and you stirred the milk. Now I'm not talking about a milky spoon. Now I'm not even talking about treif. Took your spoon, and you stirred it, and you stirred it. That would make this spoon milky. It's a kli rishon, a first vessel. That means it's cooking on the fire. Or even if I took it off the fire, but it's still in that original kli rishon, it's yatzei ladis bayit, it's hot enough that the hand would pull away from it, so about 45 degrees. If I then put a spoon inside there, that makes the spoon milchik. Okay, that's as far as that milky is concerned. However, let's say I then decanted the milk into a cup, added my cocoa powder, took the milk from that kli rishon and poured into kli sheni. So halacha we say is kli sheni is not perlea. We hold that kli sheni does not turn it into a thing. And therefore, if I took, you ask somebody, he says, I took my milky spoon and I put it in a meaty pot. What's the halacha? So you need to ask a question. Wait, what makes the spoon milky? To which he said, well, yesterday I made a coffee and I stirred the coffee with that spoon. So it was in a warm liquid with milk. I stirred it. And then I took it and I put it in my fleishig pot. Lehalacha, that spoon, if it was not used for any other milk in the last 24 hours, is not officially considered milking. Okay? Because it wasn't in a kli rishon, it wasn't a first vessel. So therefore, it's very important, you need to know, where did my spoon go? Where did I put it to make it milking? There's one other thing that could make it milking, which is iri, kli rishon. So we have what's called kli rishon, and you have the keli that's on the fire itself, or you have the keli that came off the fire, and then you pour directly from it. You're pouring directly from a kettle, you pour directly from a pot. That's called irui, pouring mikli rishon. But that is only mavliya kidei klipa, that doesn't impart the taste through the entire thing, but only through a very, very thin layer at the outside. So it's important to know, how did my spoon become milky? Next. How much did this spoon take in of taste? Meaning to say, you have a spoon. How much milk is inside that spoon? How do I even know how much milk is inside that spoon? So in general, what we would say is, we would assume that the entirety of the spoon, whatever the volumatic area of the spoon is considered milchik. However, let's say you had a very, very small amount of milk in something. You know exactly what it was. It was only 1 ounce of milk. And you took a spoon and put it into the milk. And the spoon, its volume of the spoon is more than 1 ounce. The maximum amount of bleus that could possibly be inside that spoon is 1 ounce. Because it cannot become more milky than the actual milk item that it came from. And therefore, it's important to know how much food was stirred with it to be able to tell how milky this spoon is. Okay? Now,
we're only cooking an ounce of milk. It can't be an ounce of milk in a spoon.
No, an ounce of milk taste. That's what we say. We consider it the taste of an ounce worth of milk goes in the spoon. Of course, there's not an ounce of milk in the spoon. There's nothing in the spoon, right? Because you still have your ounce, you still have your whole milk here. But we consider the halacha that there's like 1 ounce worth of milk taste inside that spoon. And therefore, if you put it into an item that had 60 ounces, there's no shayla, it'll be mutter. Because I know there's 60 ounces worth of meat and other stuff in this pot, and the maximum amount of bleas inside the spoon is only 1 ounce. So 60 to 1, you're okay. You're right. It's part of the problem that you have with bleas is that how can I make something osser the same amount if it's still there? I'll give you another example, right? You have a pot of meat, of milk, right? You're boiling a pot of milk, and somebody drops a piece of meat into that pot, okay? The meat, let's call it as a meat, say, is 10 grams, and the amount of food inside the pot is 600 mils of milk, let's say, right? How much do you need, how much milk would you need in order to be able to say that that pot of milk does not become osur? Shishim, 600 mils. So I pull out, but I also have to pull out the meat, by the way. I can't leave the meat inside, we'll come to that. So you pull out the meat, you have your pot now, inside your pot. How, but now, let's say, for example, there was only 500 mils of meat in, of milk in there. Then the milk will become forbidden, and the meat will become forbidden. But I pulled out the meat now. So I still have 10 grams of meat over here. How can I have milk that's forbidden when I got my full amount of meat over here? How are you doing that? The answer is, we say that there's a certain amount of taste that's imparted by this meat, and that goes in, even if the meat remains here. And if that meat falls into something else again, you'd have to need another 10 mils, 60 times 10 mils against that second time the milk, meat fell in somewhere else. So it is, it's complicated. Okay? Now, okay, so let's go back to what we said. Let's go back to our case. You have a meaty pot, you took your spoon, you stuck it into the pot. Your pot has meat inside, it's cooking something, it's cooking chicken soup, it's cooking something else, meat with a sauce or gravy inside, so it's all one thing. And let's say, let's give it a value, I don't know, let's say you have 300, we have 3 liters worth of stuff here, okay, inside your pot. You take your spoon and you stick it inside, and you stir it, and you go, oh no, milky spoon, what do I do now? So here the halacha says as follows. So let's go through different things. If the spoon is not benyoymoy, we'll have to come in a minute. Let's assume you've used the spoon for milk, you've stirred your hot chocolate, you washed it off, so you stirred your, not hot chocolate, you stirred your milk inside the pot, it mamish became milky, and now you went and you stuck that spoon into something meaty. So there the halacha says as follows. It's benyoymoy, it's been used in the last 24 hours for meat, for milk, and now you stuck it into meat. Then you mix, you check as follows. You check for shishim, you check to see, is there 60 times as much? So if you have 60 times as much, and by the way, I've done the calculation, it really doesn't take very much to have 60 times as much. The average spoon, if you were to measure it by water displacement, that means, take a bowl of water that's full, weigh it, okay, stick a spoon in, and water's going to come out the side, and then you take the spoon back out. So now you have a basic idea of how much water displacement there was, what the volume of your spoon is. What is the volume of a normal metal spoon? I don't know. But when I checked online, the volume of a normal metal spoon is somewhere between 15 and 20 mils. That's all it is. It's actually not very big. Okay? Which means shishim, 60 times 20 mils, is only 1.2 liters. It means that if you stuck a spoon into something, as long as you have 1.5 liters inside there, which is not a lot of food, you'll be okay because you'll have shishim. Because you have shishim, you can eat the whole spoon. It's not even going to be a shayla, which is why I'm saying that the idea of having shishim, of having 60 times as much, sounds very far-fetched because you said that was 60 times as much. 60 times as much a spoon is not so much. Okay? But you stuck it in. If you have 60 times connected the spoon, then we'll say as follows. You have a milky spoon, you have meat inside the pot, and you have the pot. Remember, we have 3 questions. And therefore, there's 60 times as much meat in this mixture connected the spoon, the mixture is going to be mutter, no question. And if the mixture is mutter, what else is going to be mutter? The pot will also be mutter. The spoon needs kashrut. Okay? Because the spoon now has milk from the fact that I mixed my hot milk on the pot, meat from the fact that I mixed my meat inside the other pot, that spoon is treif, needs kashrut. Now, depending on what the spoon is made of, whether you can kash it or not, kashering is a different discussion. But that spoon has become treif. It will matter. Yeah, it will matter. Correct. So we'll come to that soon. How far did the spoon go in? And it will depend on that much as how much you'll need shishin. So as we said, it was 15 or 20 mils if you only stuck in the spoon. So if you don't know how much of the spoon you stuck in general we assume you stuck in the round piece. Because that's what you do. Unless you were mixing vigorously, then we'd say most of the spoon. But let's even assume the whole spoon. Because it's easier to do it that way. Because go figure where it was. If you knew exactly where it was, you can do less. Let's measure the whole spoon. It's not really that much. Okay? Now, what if the spoon has not been yoimer? You haven't used the spoon in the last 24 hours for anything milky that was on a flame or just come off a flame. Then the spoon, for all intents and purposes, is not milky anymore in halacha. And therefore, you stuck it into the food. It's not a milky spoon. Shishim becomes irrelevant because it's not milky, right? And therefore, the pot is mutter. The food is mutter. The spoon officially would be mutter, really, because it's not milky anymore. However, we have the minute we kasha such a spoon. Because you say, well, it had yesterday or 2 days ago it was milk. Then I waited 24 hours and now it's not milky anymore. And now I'm going to use it for my chicken soup and now it's meaty. And now in another 24 hours, it's not meaty anymore. Now I'm going to go back to stirring my coffee with it. In halacha, you want to be very strict in halacha. You can say, yes, you're right. You don't have to keep on kashering the spoon. And nothing becomes awesome. But it's just wrong. So we say that we kasher the spoon. So if it's not in yoimer, the pot, okay. The meat, okay. The spoon, kasher. Okay. If you don't have shishim, then it will work differently. You don't have shishim, so now you have a small amount of meat over here. You have a big spoon that you stuck in and you mixed it with. In that instance, you don't have 60 in the food. The food, osir. The pot, osir. The spoon, osir. Okay, so as we said, there'll be times where officially all three will be okay. There are times only one of them will need kashering. And the times, three of them will need kashrut. Last point, and then we'll finish. What happens if you stuck it in twice or three times? Do you need every single time to count again against the spoon? So I mixed once, I didn't realize. I mixed again, and I didn't realize. I mixed the third time, I didn't realize. So Shulchan Aruch says you need to, if you didn't realize, you need to use twice. The Ramah and others disagree with that, and that's how we as Ashkenazim go. So even if you use the spoon a number of times, you need only one time 60 against it and not multiple times 60. So if you have a spoon, you need one time 60. If you have 60 against it, let's go back to what we said. So bottom line. You have a spoon, which has been used in the last 24 hours for milky. You put it into the pot of meat. If there's 60 against the spoon, the meat is mutter. The pot is mutter. The spoon is osir. If there's not 60, the meat is osir. The pot is osir. The spoon is osir. If it's not been used in the last 24 hours, we don't need 60. The meat or whatever's inside the pot will be mutter. The pot itself will be mutter. The spoon officially is mutter, but we have the minute to kasher it. Okay? That's the halacha as far as this is concerned. Thank you very much. There'll be a mitzvah shem. A few more sections on this. We'll say, same kaddish, yeah? Rabbon and kaddish, Rabbi Chanan min ha-kasher emet. Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Yisrael, Aviv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adonai Mitzvah Shenema, Adonai Rav Eitz Aman Tzid Koyah, Yigdil Torah V'Yah Adir. Yizkad Rav, Yizkad Rav, Yizkad Rav, Shmei Rav, Omein. Amen. Amen.